Welcome to episode 40 of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney and I'm your host. I am a plant-based cardiologist living in Southwest Florida. I'm also an endurance athlete doing marathons and triathlons, and I've been bringing this podcast to educate people on the merits of a whole food plant-based diet. Last night I had the pleasure of going to see Plant Pure Nation, which opened in Fort Myers, Florida. They had a great turnout. There were two theaters that were opened, so there was definite interest. Both theaters were filled. There was some interesting responses to the movie. I think, in my opinion, what the movie tried to accomplish was that government's not going to protect us from marketing and industry. You know, there are many diets out there that proclaim health benefits. There are many products that often taste good or maybe marketed to make you feel better, but there's a lot of information and there's certainly not a lot of regulation about what's going on. And I think the movie, you know, does a good job at explaining this. I also think that they demonstrated by doing the jump starts, which were 10-day rollouts of providing people with the food and doing the metrics of blood pressure and glucose and cholesterol, that if you give people the right food and they eat it, certainly their cholesterol and their glucose and their blood pressure will all get better. I also think that they demonstrated that the family farm has been replaced by agribusiness and that we've lost sight of where our food comes from. And in some respects, we've lost access to local food. They demonstrated food deserts where there weren't any farmers markets or fresh vegetables available. In a local area, people had to drive for that, and this was specifically in areas of Kentucky where they visited places where there used to be local farmers market had once disappeared. And like a lot of suburbs, it's fast food restaurant after fast food restaurant after fast food restaurant without a whole lot of healthy choices. And before long, people forget about what healthy choices might be. And again, as we all know, people start to develop a sense or a taste for salt, fat, and sugar. And those healthy choices, people quit looking for those healthy choices. You know, family dinners have been replaced by drive-through meals. And I think by providing families with this food jumpstart, then there was, you know, they actually sat down and ate this food together, and there was probably some discussion over, you know, what they were eating and, you know, a lot more that went into it than the documentary certainly had time to visit. I think if there's a drawback, you know, maybe the film tried to do too much in a little bit of time, and that if people weren't familiar with eating whole foods plant-based, they never really got a sense of exactly what that was. And I think the point also remains is, well, why change? Because I don't know that the movie demonstrated a reason to really go for the change. You know, why not just take a pill? Why not just get a bypass or any surgery if you need it? Go see the doctor and get fixed when you're broken. Again, I'm not so sure that the movie accomplished this, and we had a little discussion afterwards about some of the problems. I still am a big proponent of leading by example. And this may sound harsh, but the doctors in the film did not look like they were leading by example. They spoke the right words, but they didn't look fit. They didn't look like the typical person that's following a whole foods plant-based diet. So you would get the impression that they weren't doing it. So why should you do it? So I didn't think that they, you know, were really, you know, leading by example. And even one of the physicians really was hesitating about, well, you know, we still have medicines if people don't really follow this. And the reasons why physicians don't prescribe whole foods, plant-based diet is that if the patients don't follow it, then they'll become more ill. I don't really buy that. I buy that it's a hard story to tell people. You're telling people to change when maybe they hadn't considered it. So it's a lot more difficult in the time restraints than a 10-minute office visit. I thought that the one physician that was interviewed was retired or not, but, you know, she basically, well, she's not practicing now, you know, said that, you know, by the time she had quit practicing, 10-minute office visits, what you can really do with that. I still think that's a cop-out. I still think if you lead by example, then people will even ask questions. You know, what do you do to keep fit? How do you eat? And if you demonstrate that to people, I think that they're more likely to want to have what you have or, you know, achieve health that you may have. Even the Kentucky representative in the picture, he didn't look healthy. But neither did any of the Kentucky legislative people that were pictured look healthy. So, you know, it wasn't like, you know, he obviously lost some weight, but he was pale. You know, he didn't seem energetic, and he even was walking with a walker after having broke his hip during the filming of the movie. So, I mean, again, it's just not something that people, you know, will say, well, I want to be like him. I want to achieve this. Why should I have to? So I think the message may have been blurred somewhat by the presentation. From my bias, I thought it was great. I thought it demonstrated that, you know, people can eat a whole foods, plant-based diet, and they can change. The government's not on your side. You know, we need to go back to our roots. But I'm part of the choir. I'm not, I don't need to be convinced. People that I had a discussion with weren't convinced, and I'm not so sure that it might not have went the other way a little bit, and maybe people think, oh, you know, what difference does it make? You know, I think we chase fame in this society. I think, you know, Beyonce being going vegan and eating a whole foods, plant-based diet, I think athletes that are doing well in their competitions other people, you know, that are leaders in society, those people doing well have a better chance at being beacons. You know, the Josh LaJohnnies that I had on here before, you know, he's a great beacon. He's changed his life. He demonstrates, you know, what he's eating. And he's also, you know, running marathons and now ultra marathons. I think that he goes a long way toward being a great beacon to educate people. So I think we shouldn't be afraid of putting those kind of people on the spotlight. I also think it would have been great if we could have had five or six different people that are actually active in educating people on a plant-based whole foods diet in the movie, because there are, as you know, we've talked before, a little bit of differences between the different philosophies, whether it be Dr. Furman, Dr. McDougall, Dr. Esselstyn, but all of them, the basics are all there, a whole food plant-based diet with little refined sugar, with you know, low and refined flours and, you know, controlled amount of nuts. I mean, all of that is there. And I think having them present that in a bunch of different ways, you know, would be a great thing to do in the future. I also don't think that providing people with takeout is the answer. The jump start proved a point that if people eat a whole foods, plant-based diet, it works. And we all know it works, and it gave people a taste. But in my experience, people don't know what to do with it after that. And just like any other mail-away food program, whether it's Nutrisystem or Weight Watchers or any other Atkins-type prepackaged food, if you control the amount of food that people are eating, you're going to see some results. But people need to learn what to do after that, how to get food on the plate, how to shop, and to actually prepare their own food. I don't think there's any getting around preparing your own food. I haven't heard yet of anybody accomplishing health by eating out all the time. I haven't heard of anybody convincing other people that eating plant-based is the way to go by eating out all the time. I think it needs to be demonstrated in the home, in the kitchen, at a family table. And all those people that I've seen interviewed to this point that have been successful are people that walk the walk and live it daily in their household. And that eating out is a rare treat as opposed to an everyday occurrence. It's just like learning to find direction somewhere. If you're riding in the passenger seat, you're less likely to remember how you got there than if you were actually driving. And you even remember more if you're driving and you make a couple wrong turns and you keep driving and you find it. I also think that if you cook your own meals and you make your transition and you find things that you like, you find meals that you don't like, you're more likely to continue to follow that plan and become more confident in the kitchen. You really can't make a mistake. You know, some things are better than others, but the basic, you know, cooking the basic vegetables is pretty simple, and it can be as simple as, you know, corn and beans and a potato and a salad. It doesn't have to be, you know, gourmet food. Typically, again, we eat very simply during the week and maybe make some more complicated dishes on the weekend when you know, I have time. But I don't think it has to be something that you have to have a cookbook every night of the week. It certainly is not going to work for most people. I think the movie, for people that went to see it, there'll certainly be people that their interest is sparked and they'll pursue it. But I think for the most part, that if you went there and changing wasn't your idea, but somebody took someone to the movie to try to introduce them, I think they're going to need a lot of support to make that change. You know, I had spoke with Nelson Campbell during, you know, one of the interviews, and he said, basically, when you go back 6 months later, are those people still eating whole food plant-based? And if they don't have the support of the community or the support of their family, that percentage of people that actually stay on that path is going to be, you know, really low. I think maybe, you know, after a year of a lot of support, whether it's a group, a foodies group that meets on a more frequent basis, I think you need a lot of, you know, people need a lot of education and menu planning that are trying, but maybe not fully committed to make this change before it actually starts to stick and they actually find their go-to meals and start to feel better. You know, there's that 10% of people, you know, I had somebody in the office today that, you know, resisted it for a long time, but was going to have to add a couple different medications and decided that she wanted to try it. And within a short period of time, you know, she lost 10 pounds and we're actually taking her off of a blood pressure medication. And she feels good. She's noticed the difference in a short period of time. She made a full commitment to it. I brought her back to the office, you know, on a quicker follow-up. And so she's more committed because she's had some positive feedback. But she also knows how to cook and I think and has some interest in the kitchen. So, you know, that helped her out. I think if people like to cook and are creative, then that helps. I also had a person in my nutrition class that this is probably not going to work. She does not want to cook. Her husband was there with her, which I think is a great support because he actually is going to do some of the cooking. So I do believe that they're going to, the meals that he actually cooks, they'll be eating more healthy and more plant-based. But she absolutely didn't want any part of preparing her own food for lunch or dinner. Even to the point of cutting up fruit or microwaving a potato, you know, she would rather do a lean cuisine. So if you don't see the merits of that, it makes it really difficult. I do think, though, that if her husband starts to cook things for her, she'll probably end up eating them. And I think the opposite of that is also true. Where perhaps the spouse, if she's, it's the woman, starts cooking for the whole family, then people will start to eat it and appreciate the taste. You know, in speaking with Dr. Campbell's wife, or Dr. Campbell's daughter, in their home, his wife just started cooking plant-based foods and meat started disappearing and more vegetables started appearing, and they ate what was there because it was dinner time and they were hungry and they were willing to try. I think that's a great way to go. The same way happened in the Esselstyn's house. They gradually started eating more and more plant-based, and more things went away and new things came in, and everybody was willing to try. And, that in itself makes it so much more easy. So if you prepare the food, I think people are afraid they're going to prepare it and nobody's going to eat it. But I don't think that's quite true. I think if you find a few simple things that you can make, the spouse and the rest of the family will eat it, especially if it's things that they already recognize. By simple things, it's summertime, corn on the cob, green beans, baked potato, salads. Those are the shish kebabs that are vegetarian on the grill with, mushrooms and pineapple and peppers. Those are all simple things that people recognize. So, the more simple that you start, I think the better chance you have at achieving the whole food plant-based diet. And then rein it in. Maybe it'll have a little bit more oil in it in the beginning, but then rein it in and eliminate things. I was never so impressed myself with the effects of getting rid of the oil as when I did. I used to get indigestion, and I thought going plant-based would eliminate that, and it didn't. It wasn't until I gave up the oil in my diet that I was able to get off of the proton pump inhibitors, the Prilosecs of the world. So, and now I know I don't want that, so there's no way I want to expose myself to the oil because I don't want the indigestion, and I certainly don't want to go back on the medication because I had to wean myself off. So when you experience a positive benefit from the diet change, I think it's also more reinforcing. A lot of people have heard of Joe the Juicer in the movie Sick, Fat, and Nearly Dead. I've been trying to get Joe on the podcast, but haven't been able to get through the email or the website Quagmire to actually get to him. But I think that he experienced the same thing. The movie was great. You see him going around giving juice to people, and they say, that's a great idea. You're feeling better. Yeah. But I could never do that. And the big question is how do you bridge the gap between I could never do that and I'm going to do that, or I want to do that? And that remains a very small percentage of the population. I'm a recent vegan, of the last 10 years of my conversion, but there are people that are vegan 20, 30 years, and they'll say, there's a lot more people than there used to be. And certainly there's a lot more things offered. A lot of restaurants now, everybody knows what a vegan is for the most part, or people know vegetarian, or they offer some of those options where they never did before. But there's still a relatively small percentage of people that are completely plant-based. So there's got to be a reason how you go from this is how I want to be, or I could never do this, and this is I want to do this. Certainly this movie, Joe the Juicer, made people aware that, the benefits of juicing and getting rid of salt, oil, and sugar in their diet. The awareness of Plant Pure Nation that, these people that were in terrible health in just 10 days could make market changes in their biometrics. This is a great thing to bring awareness to people. When all those people see that, there'll be a few that fall out and say, I really, really, really want to give this a try. But I think there's a bigger number of people that say, yes, but, why should I? I think that, again, I feel, I came out of the movie last night and I have to say that I was quite disappointed in the conversation that I became involved with afterwards. A good friend did a critique of the movie, and it was quite accurate. But, you know, as my mother would say, sometimes the truth is hard to hear. I believe in this movement wholly, so any positive thing that came out of it, I would take and run with it. Whereas somebody that wasn't in favor of this in the beginning might not have been as convinced, or maybe not even convinced at all. So it really knocks me back a couple steps when people aren't 100% on board immediately. You know, it quells your passion and almost, you know, makes you feel bad. I have another friend who, her family are all omnivores. She calls them carnivores to that extent, but they, the people that she, her friends and her associates and her family, none of them are fully plant-based. Very few of them are, and she's always in a bad situation where she's trying to go out and order plant-based or vegan options, and she gets harassed, and there's no support, and she sees they're sick. She tries to help them. She buys them books. She buys them materials, but she doesn't ever get anywhere, and she's always frustrated. I guess I experienced a little bit of that, you know, last night, when you're in your own pod of people that are all plant-based and they're all passionate about this, it's kind of easy to go on. But when you you get confronted with, well, you know, why do you really need to do this? I'm not convinced. It's a little bit, you know, a little bit of a reality check. So I think that sometimes... maybe there is a better way of going a little slower in some of these instances. You know, one way of doing it would be, and I do think that will help, is the Meatless Monday campaigns. When I spoke a few weeks ago with Carla Dumas, you know, about what the Humane Society is doing, is rolling out for these the hospitals and the college campuses and schools, you know, Meatless Monday, along with, you know, pamphlets of what it will do for your health and how-to guides for the institution. You know, I think that those are great because even if people are in those cafeterias that would never consider being vegan or plant-based, if they happen to visit that cafeteria and that's all that's there that day, and they try something new or read one of those pamphlets on what it might do for them, and they have something that they like, or even have something that, you know, give it the I could eat this type of deal, it may spark them to look into this more and to become more educated on the health benefits of eating plant-based. I was again disappointed this week when I met with the CEO of Fawcett Memorial Hospital, and, you know, we talked about the Meatless Monday campaign that his hospital was trying to roll out, and he's really not for it. He said it's people's right to have meat if they want it. You know, I would counter that. Is it their right to have alcohol at the hospital if they wanted to? You know, is it right to be able to smoke in the hospital? They you know, it became a smoke-free campus because the insurance rates would go down if you didn't smoke on the campus. So now people have to walk to the edge. That was, you know, a benefit for them. But certainly, you know, being meatless on Monday would benefit the hospital too, and I pointed that out. But, you know, he likes meat, and, you know, it's certainly not, there's not, you can't, he can't see the benefit for his hospital that much. But I do think it's a good way for people to be introduced. If a kid gets, you know, Meatless Monday and a sticker at school, or an employee gets, you know, 15% off to eat meat, you know, meatless on Monday, it does spark interest, and it sparks conversation that may help people become plant-based. So, you know, I think that's a good way to introduce this. I hope to have an interview perhaps later. with a local CHIP coordinator, and that's been doing, you know, plant-based education for a lot of years. But again, I think that she'll probably reinforce that it's by demonstrating that the food is good, it's easy enough to make, it's economical, and you feel better. You know, so if you can just get past those hurdles, I think, you know, you've gone a long way. But you certainly need to look the part, and again, human nature, have something that somebody else would like. Run faster, jump higher, swim quicker, wear a smaller size, have more energy. Those are what people are looking for. I truly believe everybody wants to feel good and to look good, as you know. So we need to demonstrate that eating a whole food plant-based, you know, you can be that way, and that you're not just a grumpy person that, you know, picks, you know, wants to be different for no apparent reason. On a lighter note, my food experimented this week, or experimentation this week. I did a couple new things. I made from the green, if you haven't been on the onegreenplanet.com, there's, and they call it greenmonster.com, there's a newsletter that comes out every day that, you know, has some variety of articles, whether they're health, or recipes, or animal rights issues. There's a little blurbs to read on everything, each of those. I did a carrot cake muffin type of raw dessert with, it's with carrots, walnuts, dates, and raisins. It was raw, it was really easy to make. The amount of walnuts that are in there, I figured out was, you know, about a little over an ounce per serving. So you're certainly within the nut range that you would be for the day. You know, then it's carrots, raisins, and dates. So it was really sweet. It was good texture because of the nuts and the dates that were mixed as the kind of the cake part of it, as well as the, you know, the carrots made it chewy, so it was filling. I ate it for breakfast, one of them. We ate it for dessert, so it goes good with a cup of coffee, so it goes about any time of the day. So that was really good. And the other recipe that I made from them was the seitan sausages. And that was with seitan and some spices. And that was really good. And I ended up making, after you get the seitan made and shaped into the sausage type form, and you wrap it in foil and you steam it. So I used my Instapot to steam them for 15 minutes. So that cut out about 45 minutes of the time that it would normally, you'd have to steam them and then take them off. And then we finished them on the grill, and served them with peppers and onions and mushrooms. So that was a really good, something different that's wasn't in our usual menu rotation. So that worked out good. On a gardening front, my trees are doing well. Everything's growing nicely. And the okra is standing alone, and it's growing good. So it's my only Florida midsummer crop left growing, and it's still doing well. Yeah, my herbs are still doing good. That's in the pepper plants are still doing pretty good. But the okra is just really thriving in the hot Florida humid conditions and the sunny conditions. So I'm anxious to see how those couple of plants produce. From an office standpoint, it was somewhat of an interesting week. I do stress test every week, and I had the pleasure of doing a stress test on a 73-year-old duathlete. And it was great to see his efforts on the treadmill and his enthusiasm, and he wanted to see what his maximum heart rate was. And he's very into training with heart rate, and he's doing very well. He's changed his diet, and his cholesterol's getting better. I tried to use him to motivate a 55-year-old that wasn't nearly as healthy. And I think that he might have, got her to think a little bit as she was out there. I think people... if you're not around people that are fit, you forget what's, or you get confused about what's normal. You know, you don't have to age and have, you know, aches and pains in your 50s. You can be very fit, you know, through your 70s and 80s. And I proved that one step further. I didn't prove it, but I had two of my longstanding patients in that were in their 90s this week. We had a bad storm here and an elevator went out, and we called one of my 90 plus year old patients to tell him maybe he should reschedule because the elevator's out. And he said, no problem. His elevator was out too. So he walked down two flights of steps in his building and then walked up a flight of steps that are pretty steep at my office for his office appointment. And he asked me if I thought he might live to be 100. And I was like, well, based on today, I think you get a pretty good shot at it. So that was certainly cute. So I wish him well. And he doesn't listen to the podcast, but happy birthday, because I think his 92nd birthday is tomorrow. And then I had another 90-year-old lady that had to get her pacemaker battery changed. And she is extremely active. Her daughter called to see, would she be okay, you know, by herself after her pacemaker battery was changed. And it's like, well, yes, because, you know, she's still organizing dinner parties at her house. They're not plant-based, but, you know, we talk about, you know, eating more plants. But she eats a pretty healthy diet, you know, and she swims every day. And does laps in her pool. So, you know, I mean, that it's very inspiring to see people that are active. And I think, especially for the older people, you know, just like the movie, the book, The Blue Zones, you know, people that are active in their community, they're active socially, they interact with people, they move around during the day, and they have a sense of purpose. They do much better than people that are isolated. So, you know, in addition to eating a mainly whole foods, plant-based diet, you know, it's important to stay social and it's important to stay active. So, you know, you can find motivation in a lot of places. The one lady that swims, you know, she said she wants to live as long as she can because she feels healthy and she enjoys life and she still has a lot of interest in learning things and in being around people and in hearing new things. So, you know, that's inspiring. And I think we should look to those, you know, the elders of our community for inspiration. And to realize that, you know, life is not a slow decline, but, you know, something to be enjoyed, you know, up until the end. Our third nutrition class is going well. I, you know, after seeing Plant Pure Nation and thinking about some of this and maybe having a little dip in my enthusiasm, I think that it is time for us to do a sort of a maintenance support group, kind of like a gym membership, so to speak, for graduates of my nutrition program. I'd like to get a, you know, monthly meeting going on to support people with recipes, maybe potlucks, something. But I do think that we need to keep the support, and I'd like to track these people and see how they're doing 6 months, especially those people that keep up this kind of active membership in a plant-based lifestyle. So I think that I'm going to pursue that. My website is up at drdelaney.com, drdelaney.com. My podcast is linked there. I'll have announcements there. Hopefully we'll start getting a newsletter out soon. The blog's there. I'll try to post some recipes and different things that I eat in my house. And maybe you'd like to try them. So I encourage any of you to check into that. You can always reach me by email at jamiedelaney@gmail.com as well. It's jamiedulaney@gmail.com. So I think we'll probably wrap this episode up a little quicker today and go back to our interview style next week. So until then, stay strong, eat your vegetables, run long, and find somebody that motivates you.